there's a certain thinking that operates in a church planter's mind. It's a thinking about process. It's a thinking about solving problems. It's a thinking about how to look for opportunities. And as I reflect upon my mentorship from Rich DeVos over the last decade and a half, I have seen his process was always looking for what is God doing. Now, it's interesting that many people have written about the thinking processes of Mr. Rich DeVos, the co-founder of Amway, and have written books about it. And one of the books was written by Pat Williams, How to Be Like Rich DeVos. And I've gone through that book. I reflected upon statements that Pat Williams made in interviewing Rich and his family over the years. And then I'm going to share some things I personally received from Rich DeVos as well. It's just ideas that are all about church planting. And I want you to know that Rich DeVos was always and is always committed to church planting. He always felt church planting is essential. Pat Williams writes, "To these objections, Rich replies, we need God. We need to be part of a worshiping community. I don't think church is a place I have to go. It's a place I love to go because I want to share my faith with a community of believers and join with them in worshiping God. Church to me is not a building, it's people. And I love to be with people." And that's the thinking of a church planter. If you're planting a church, you're not planting a building itself. You're not saying, I plant a church, meaning that I get a building, put up a sanctuary, and that's a church. Church planting is about people, reaching people, encouraging people, nurturing people. In talking with Rich DeVos, in building a people organization, there's many, many decisions that have to be made. And a church planter has to make a lot of decisions. Pat Williams says, over the years of working with Rich DeVos in the Magic organization, the Orlando Magic is an American basketball team out of Orlando, Florida. He says, I have seen him make many bold, risky, multi-million-dollar decisions. From watching him and talking to him in those moments of decision, I have identified 8 principles Rich uses whenever he has a difficult decision to make. These 8 principles have made him one of the most effective and successful decision makers of all time. So that's Pat Williams' interpretation of what I'm going to share with you next, which is important for how a church planter is to think. You're going to make decisions. How do you make good decisions? Well, let's begin in this very appropriate for pastors and leaders, for bivocational leaders, church planters. The first piece of any decision is prayer. Prayer is a two-way communication, so talk to God and ask Him for wisdom, then listen for His answer. That is what Mr. DeVos did so many times when I was with Rich over the years. We would pray about a decision, and that would be the first thing that come to mind. And sometimes you say, well, big decisions you pray about. But, you know, you can get into the habit of praying about every decision. Even saying, you know, you're making a decision, you're thinking about something in your church plant, and just right away say, Lord, what do you think? Can you help me here? And it's fascinating how sometimes the Holy Spirit just gives you an idea, an insight, someone that you should call, a name of somebody. And it's like the decision just got easier because the Lord is helping you, because you asked the Lord to help you. The second thing in making a good decision is define the decision that must be made. Ask yourself, what am I trying to achieve with this decision? What is the problem that must be solved? What are my options? Avoid looking at the decision in an either-or terms. There are often 3 or 4 more options to any decision, so think creatively and expand your options. So define the decision that must be made and think creatively about what you define. Number 3, gather information. Get as much information as possible, but don't wait too long to decide. avoid the getting caught in the paralysis of analysis situation. Usually a good decision can be made with considerably less than 100% of the available information. 50 to 75% is usually sufficient. So in other words, gather information, but don't be so procrastinating when it comes to actually making the decision. It's a lot of little good decisions, not a few amazingly great decisions, that really bring church planting in terms of the leader, what really brings church planting out. When you're making decisions, you want to gather, make good decisions, and keep moving on. When you're making a decision, list the pros and the cons. This will help you think clearly and logically about the decision you have to make. If still undecided, consider your worst case scenario. Think about this. What's the worst thing that can happen if you decide this way or that way? Consider your worst case scenario that will help you identify the uncertainty and anxiety that keeps you from deciding, and it will bring into clarity your thinking. A lot of times we have like a worst case scenario thinking, but we're not talking about it. We're not pulling it out of our brain, but it's there. And that may even hold you back, or it will give you unclarity as there's sort of a mud of fear somewhere in there, and you want to see what that possible worst case scenario is. Then, in making a decision, finally make the decision. Don't stall, don't procrastinate, decide. Then act on your decision and trust that you receive guidance from God through your reading of the Bible, through prayer, through relationships, through talking, the pros and cons, the worst case scenario processes, and proceed forward in your decision. Now here, as a church planter, again, you'll want to have your leadership team with you. You'll want to, if you have an elder board at this time, you want that elder board to speak in and be part of the whole process. In a lot of ways, you don't want to be an island or a lone ranger, so to speak. You really want to be transparent as much as possible in your decision making. After the decision, boldly go forward. If you want to be like Rich DeVos, Pat Williams says, then don't wait to strike when the iron is hot. Make it hot by striking. Don't worry and fret about whether you're on the right track or not. Just make your own track. Be bold, be decisive, and you become a little more like Rich. Now, the principle here in church planting is, you know, when you start a new church in the area, it's a cold iron. The iron is not hot anyway. You're thinking an illusion if you think that your local community is welcoming your new church. It's not going to happen. So you, as a church planter, you're going to say, okay, by persistence and calling and spiritual direction, you dare to plant a church. So don't just wait to strike when the iron is hot. Make it hot by striking. After the decision, go boldly. Theodore Roosevelt once observed, in any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing. The successful person looks at a problem that everyone else calls impossible and sees only a bold decision that needs to be made. So, a successful church planter may fail. But failing is better than doing nothing. A successful church planter may succeed. But what is it all about? It's about proclaiming the gospel. To do nothing is not an option. Okay, as a church planter, you're going to be faced with lots of problem solving. And Pat Williams outlines how Rich DeVos looked at problem solving. And I think it'd be very helpful to talk about that in this church planting class as well. Number one, church planters are proactive. Rich DeVos doesn't wait for problems to find him. He is proactive. He seeks problems out. He makes sure he catches problems when they are small before they start getting out of hand. That's how church planters are. Church planters sort of look, and when we see something, you do not stay in denial about it. You right away identify the problem. Now, let me talk about this once. You know, there's negative thinking, positive thinking. And some people confuse. They say, well, if you see problems, you're negative. No. If you see problems and see opportunities in solving problems and new opportunities, you're not negative and you still see problems. A positive person is not just positive Pollyanna. A positive person is seeing the negative things. In fact, a positive person intuitively starts realizing that I want to see the negative things as quick as possible to provide solutions and opportunities as quick as possible so the problems do not get big. A lot of times, a negative thinker just sees the problem, exasperates the problem, becomes naysaying about problems around here, and that's how they live their life, never taking a risk or never doing anything. Church planters are proactive. They see problems and they see solutions and they look for opportunities. So, how do we go about that? Well, define the problem. Once the problem has been identified, you must define what problem it is in order to solve it. That means you must gather the facts, examine all the elements of the problem, so that you have a clear picture of what the problem is. Again, this is not negative thinking. This is very bold. It's very important, even in church planting. So, you've seen the problem. Number three is complexity paralyzes thinking. What does that mean? Well, simplicity brings clarity. Once the clutter of complexity is cleared away, the simple solution to the problem often becomes clear. Bob Sliegbeck, a business advisor to Rich DeVos, says, "On business matters, Rich is quick to grasp the concept, simplify it, repeat it back, make the decision that needs to be made, and move on." In other words, you look at all of the things and try to say, here is the problem we're going to solve. You can't solve every problem, but simplify after you think about the problem and all of the information, simplify it to something that you can actually make a decision on. Then go step by step. Take it step by step. Once you've identified a simple, practical solution, it's important to implement that solution in a careful, step-by-step fashion. Dad's wisdom, says Rich's son Dan, is to stick to the basics. Keep the process clear and uncomplicated. Do everything in the proper order. Start with an A, then go to a B, then a C. Even big problems can be solved once they are broken down into simple, bite-sized chunks. As a church planter, when you're with your elder group and that, let all the talking go on, your advisors, but always try to say, so are we saying this? Is this what we need to, what's our next step? What's the step that we have to approach? What's a hard step that we don't want to approach that maybe we need to approach? Then take your time in problem solving. It sounds trite, but it's absolutely true. Haste really does make waste. Rarely does a problem need to be solved in a panic, and panic-driven solutions usually make the problem worse, not better. So in this whole process, you see my energy, but don't interpret it that we hurriedly solve problems. No, we look at them, we mill about them, we pray about them, we talk about them, and we make decisions, and we do solutions, but never in a panicky mode. Never in, we have to make this, or, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. And you know, all of that type of thinking can create a lot of problems. So still, this is sort of the balance. Take your time. Then number six, listen to your intuition. After you've defined the problem, simplify it to its bare-bone essentials and boil down the situation to a series of practical steps. Ask yourself, what does my intuition say? Is there a still, small voice inside of me that's the Holy Spirit? Maybe that's God-given experience. Maybe that's a wisdom of it, an advice from somebody you know, still trying to get my attention and warn me or encourage me. Or do my intuition and my intellect agree? See, those are very important things that there is a certain, as you get experience, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, as you listen to mentors and you listen to the counsel of many, that intuition becomes very informed and very good at problem solving. Then stay calm under pressure. One of the most important qualities a problem solver needs is the ability to remain calm in a crisis. Panic clouds the mind and paralyzes the will, making it impossible to solve problems. In my interviews with people who know Rich DeVos, I heard again and again that he had an amazing ability to remain calm and clear-headed in an emergency. As Pat Williams talks about his biographical insights into Rich DeVos, he saw that again and again, stay calm in problem solving. So, church planters need problem solving. But another thing church planters need that Rich DeVos mentored me in, and also he shared with Pat Williams, is they need to understand certain leadership principles. So let's go through some of them as well from Pat Williams' book, How to Be Like Rich DeVos, Succeeding with Integrity in Business and Life. And we're going to apply to church planting too. First of all, it's about vision. And we've been talking about that even in this class. Vision is the ability to imagine a bright and optimistic future. All great leaders have the ability to envision a better tomorrow that energizes and motivates people to turn that dream into reality. So, for a church planter, that's that calling. The ability to see that there is going to be a church where right now there is not a church. That spiritual insight from the Lord, and people know it when you have it. They see it. You don't even have to really talk about it. They know that you see something that they want to. Two, communication skills. What good does it have to have a shining, optimistic vision of the future, a vision of church plant, if you cannot communicate that vision to the people around you? A visionary leader must be able to articulate that vision and promote that vision. In other words, all that we've talked about in the people skills class, people smart class, various things here at CLI, your experience is about communicating your vision to others. Connected to that is number three, leadership principles, people skills. A leader with great people skills is always respected and admired by the people who serve under him. You can hear the respect and admiration of the voices of those who serve under Rich DeVos. Rich always has a positive attitude toward everything in life, and that rubs off on others, observes Martin Van Dellen, one of his friends and observants over the years. Now, here's the thing. That People Smart class that you've taken here at Christian Leaders Institute that you have looked at, if you haven't taken it yet, I will tell you, it's those things that matter so much because we are seeking to love people and communicate our care and concern and our vision to others, and it's a people skills issue. On that topic of people skills, from that experience, this is written by his son who wrote about Dad. Dad figured out that everyone enjoys talking about themselves, and he realized that he enjoyed and realized that he enjoys listening and learning about people. That's why he asked people, "Tell me about you." It's his way of getting the conversation going. Dad says, "It's not hard to get people to talk about themselves. You just have to ask them. I'd much rather hear new stories from people I've met than tell my old stories again and again." So you can just see how Rich's children see from Rich that he loves people, and he loves to hear people's story. Now, I can say over the years when I have observed Rich DeVos in action, he had that love for elevator operators, for taxi drivers, for garbage men, as well as these high-ranking leaders in our culture. It was a people smart and people skill love that crossed every economic boundary. He loved people because he knows, Rich knew and knows that people are made in the image of God and they're God's people. Whoever they are, he had that attitude of listening and looking them in the eye. All these things we're talking about in the People Smart class. You know, really, it is the ability to relate to people, a talent, something you're born with, or Is it a skill, an ability you can learn, practice, and improve? In Rich's case, it was probably a bit of both. As his sons pointed out, the ability to talk to people and get to know them was a skill he consciously worked on. He taught himself to become aware of people, to seek them out, to greet them, to ask them about themselves. It started as a learned skill, and with practice, Rich raised it to an art form. Hey, church planters, that's it. Consciously work on your people smart skills. Not to manipulate, not to control, but to love, to care, concern, to lead servant leadership, and work on those skills. That is a crucial principle in church planting. Principle number 6, good character. A leader must have good character in order to inspire others with his vision for the future. As leadership guru John Maxwell observes, people buy into the leader before they buy into the leader's vision. That's true. It's about trust. Good character skills is not something you can fake. It's something you are. And then when you are that, it's not really even a skill. It's just good character. People see it. People buy into you as a leader. Now, does this mean you're perfect? No, no one's perfect. But it means you're transparently on a journey and you are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. You're being changed by God. You're in a process. You see Christ in your life and you want to grow. And you're going to take out of your life anything that could damage what God is doing in your local church. Now, again, with today's scandals that you see everywhere, many people say, I don't even dare to plant a church because I'm not perfect enough. No, you are being made perfect. You want to put yourself in a place where even your sinful nature will not harm what God is doing in your life. So you put yourself in accountability with your spouse, relationships. You seek to grow spiritually every day. And even when you struggle with something, that struggle becomes the struggle that you are going through by the power of God. And as you grow in character, people will see that. And that's all related to a powerful leadership principle. And church planters are called by God to grow. Yes, we're sinners, but we're saved by grace and we're being changed by the power of God. So, good character. People see it and they want to buy into the leader before they buy into the leader's vision. Principle number 7, no favoritism. This is what Pat writes. I resent anyone who says about a non-professional worker, he's just a mechanic, he's just a salesman, or he's just anything. He's a warm, giving, highly complex human being, cast in the image of God himself. He is the backbone of this country. I practically burst with pride in his achievement and respect for all he's done. That's what Rich has said. Rich has this attitude. You see it. No matter who you are an image bearer of God. And you know, in church planting, you're going to meet a lot of different people. And you don't want to spend more time with the people who have money and less time with the people who don't. You see everybody as a soul, a human, created by God and worth your time. I look back at my church planting and I see whenever I've gotten to the trap of treating one person better than the other, it comes back to hurt me and the church plant. So a critical leadership principle is never show favoritism. Leadership principle number 8 is boldness. If a leader isn't bold, he isn't a leader. A bold leader takes risks and encourages risk-taking throughout the organization. Church planting is about, it's a big risk. You can fail. Church planters face great obstacles and challenges. You got to be bold, and the boldness comes from God. Leadership principle number 9 is servant leadership. Whatever it takes, Rich says, I want them to take care of. relocate them in the organization if you can. If not, make sure they get severance packages and help them find new jobs. Just make sure they're taken care of. Now, he wrote this in the context of challenges within the organization over the years when they've had to downsize. And even when he would have to lay people off, his attitude was always, whatever it takes, I want them to be taken care of. In church planting, there will be negative relationships. There will be the church planting version of downsizing. When somebody maybe disagrees with you, maybe they were an antagonist and they leave, and you can sort of like say, good, they're gone. But still, as far as it is, it says in the Bible, live at peace with all men. Spiritually, take care of them. Pray for them. In those relationships with peace. But servant leadership even goes beyond that. It's that attitude that you are not doing this because of some ego trip. You're doing this because you are serving the Lord. Okay, we've talked about leadership principles. I want to talk about a few more things that come out of this book, Simply Rich. And, you know, one of the things Rich writes about is, and I'll tell you it's true, church planting is hard work and responsibility. Rich said, those experiences and lessons from my paper out and household chores were the foundation of becoming at a young age a diligent worker with a sense of responsibility, an eye toward detail, and an appreciation for pleasing customers. This is from Rich's own hand in his book, Simply Rich. This is now, again, not Pat Williams' book. But I wanted to bring this point up because a church planter has to develop a very intense work ethic. Now, this does not mean that you avoid your family. You love your family. But what it does mean for a time, especially when you're taking off, is that it's first going to be a lot of hard work, and to know that. Getting back to Pat Williams' book, I just love another principle in church planting, is not only do you receive mentors in your life, but you sort of realize that you are a mentor now in the community, and that's how you think. So be a mentor. Helen DeVos explained to me that Rich's motivation for mentoring others, it comes from his faith. She said, Jesus mentored the disciples. He taught them, spend time with them, and laid down his life for them. Rich looks at the life of Jesus and says, that's my example. That's the pattern for my life. Being a mentor to others just flows from who Rich is and what he believes. Let that be said about you. As a church planter, you say, you know, Jesus laid down his life. He mentored others, his disciples. That's now a pattern that you want to place on your life as a church planter. Think like a mentor. Taking risks in planting a church. When you take a risk, and it is, as we just explained earlier, I mean, you're going to go into enemy territory. You have to accept the very real possibility of failure. In fact, if we live as risk takers, we will certainly fail from time to time. But failure is never a failure unless we fail to learn from it. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, though a righteous man fails seven times, he rises again. That is the Rich DeVos story in a nutshell, according to Pat Williams about Rich DeVos. So that's sort of how we think. We think about the opportunities, whatever the problems may face. We have an eye for communicating hope. The church planter brings the hope of the gospel into the lives of those he reaches. Again, Doug DeVos about his father. Dad uses his speaking skills to improve the lives of others. When he speaks, he transfers hope to people. That's the essence of a church planter thinking, is how do I bring hope to other people, the hope of the gospel, and how do I exhibit that in who I am? Help people get what they want. Dr. Neil Plantinga, the former president of Calvin Theological Seminary. In fact, I've known Neil over the years, and he's known Rich as well. And one of the things he says about Rich And this is something a church planter does. Here's the centerpiece of Rich's wisdom. We flourish only by helping others to flourish. Rich's entire life has been spent helping others to achieve great things. A church planter thinks this way. How do I create stages of opportunity for people to use their gifts, people to grow in God, people to be part of the body of Christ, for people to meet other people? How do I do that? How do I help others flourish? If I help others flourish, that is going to build a local church. That's how a church planter thinks. It's about helping people. Rich DeVos has a mission in life, and his mission is to help people help themselves. Rich has focused his entire life on helping other people. And that's why he always puts other people first. He has impacted millions of people over the years by his approach to life. Now, it's interesting at this point. You can say, well, how does a billionaire talk like this? I mean, isn't he about making money? It's about helping people. It's about making an impact in the lives of others. And the blessing of God is the blessing of God. But we never forget, you know, I've known Rich a long time. In every encounter that I've been with him, I see that he's part of his life mission. If in planting a church, we grasp that our life mission and what we are all connected. I'm going to end this presentation with just a few personal mentorship comments where Rich and I were talking over the years and some of the encouragements that he has given me, and I want to pass those encouragements on. One of the things he says to me over the years, Henry, you're always a doer. I like that. A doer. And what he meant by that is whether it was starting Christian Leaders Institute, planting a church, meeting someone, connecting some people in a relationship, setting up a couple people in my congregation for a date or whatever. Doer. Be a doer. A church planter is a doer. James 1 verse 29 says, For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror and not doing anything. See, be a doer of the word of God. Be a doer of church planting. Another thing I would see, and he would encourage, is hospitality. Hospitality is huge. I've observed over the years, Rich welcomed people into his home. I mean, he welcomed me, a lowly pastor in his 30s, into his home and into his life. And he went out of his way to not meet me at a restaurant and then see you later, but he had this attitude of opening up his home. 1 Peter 4, verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You know, what I've learned over the years in church planting, and we're going to talk about this in this class, is the power of hospitality. And I've seen that with Rich and Helen DeVos. Fail forward. I remember him once said to me, I just decided I'm going to fail forward. I said, what do you mean by that, Rich? Well, you know, we're all going to fail. But how do we say, Lord, what are you teaching? Or what can I learn? Or how can I repent from something? Or why does my ego have to be so fragile that I just get stuck when I fail? Philippians 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's another one. And this is very apropos in church planting. Take an occasional cold call. You know, sometimes when you're a church planter, people want to talk to you. A businessman, a local person, somebody else. You're thinking, you know, this is not affecting my church plant in a positive way. But I will tell you, once upon a time, I called Rich DeVos a complete cold call from an unknown pastor. And that started a mentoring relationship with him. And indirectly, it was used by God. In that first call, this first cold call, later on, God used that first cold call now to bring CLI into being. You know, Mr. DeVos was one of the first, it was the first board member with Ron Parr these two men where eventually, or once upon a time, I had to talk to them a first time. So as a church planter, talk to people, even if you don't think you're going to necessarily be benefited by them, just listen to them. And you have no idea. People would take you the first time and meet you for the first time. You need to meet people even you don't think are going to benefit you. In other words, God has a plan for everyone you meet. And when someone tries to meet you, hey, find out who they are. Related to that is make a cold call. Sometimes you just have to make a cold call. It's better than doing nothing. Now, people have said, hey, what's a cold call? It's going up to someone you don't meet, calling them or walking over to them and just meet them. Hi, I'm Henry Reinga. And you don't know what God has in store. Here's something else that I learned. Take your dream as far as it will go. Rich once told me, he said, many people quit, but Henry, you don't quit. I took that as one of the biggest compliments that Rich ever gave to me. One of the biggest compliments of my life. My wife has said this to me many, many times. And every time my wife has said this to me, I've always felt encouraged. Rich said this to me. Many people quit, Henry, but you don't quit. Romans 15, verse 20. Yes, making it my aim to preach the gospel where Christ was already, not where Christ was already named, that I might not be built on someone else or another's foundation. You know, many people will quit. But as a church planter, don't have that attitude. Now, there may be a time that the church is going to stop. You're into this church planting, but it's not working. God is saying, no, the door is shut. But that doesn't mean you quit. That just means that God has another plan for you. I've planted to churches that have quit. They've stopped. They've looked like they've failed. We learned many, many things from them. But I have not quit because I am not quitting until my last breath. You know, I've learned many things in the mentorship relationship with Rich DeVos, but this is what I've learned. I've learned once you put your hand to the plow, don't turn back. I've learned, learn quickly. I've learned, don't have a lot of negative relationships in your life, make peace. I've learned, don't listen to the naysayers. Listen to God. I've learned, put positive people in your life. I've learned that being a church planter is one of the most beautiful gifts that anybody could be called to be part of. It's a gift by God. The calling is a gift. And to take every day that's precious, and we look forward to seeing what does God have in store. And if you are called to be a church planter, I encourage you to put your hand to the plow and don't look back.